Please open your Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 2. That song talks about being guided by the light from above. What is that light that God has given to us to guide us? It is the light of His Word. And so we have the privilege this morning of turning into the pages of His Word to be taught today by the Lord. This morning we're continuing with our new Sunday morning series called Discipleship 102. This is about continuing our journey of discipleship. And in this series, we are talking about several specific steps of discipleship that we should be taking as believers in Jesus Christ in order to be following after the Lord Jesus Christ as our leader. And so last week we talked about one of those steps of discipleship, the importance of having regular personal devotions. And that is a critically important aspect of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Believer, if you're going to follow the Lord Jesus on a daily basis, then you really need to be hearing His voice in the Word on a daily basis. You need to be responding to Him in prayer. You need to be seeking Him out every day in personal fellowship with the Lord. The truth of the matter is that every single believer needs to make it a priority to spend quality, daily, personal time in fellowship with the Lord, in His Word, and in prayer. And so let me just ask you this morning, as I get started with this message, how did you do with that step of discipleship last week? Did you go 7 for 7 last week in having regular, quality, personal devotions every single day? You know what? I'm well aware of the fact that the message that I preached last Sunday morning was probably nothing new to the vast majority of people here. I dare say that most folks, when you came into church last Sunday morning, before I preached that message, you already knew that you should be having regular personal devotions. But folks, the question is not, what do I know from the Bible? The question is, am I doing what I know from the Bible? And so let me ask you, have you taken that important step of discipleship? Maybe the step that you need to take is in the area of being faithful in your personal devotions. Maybe the step you need to take is in making more time for your devotions. Maybe the step you need to take is in making more quality time, giving God some of your first and best time for your personal devotions. But whatever the step is that you need to be taking, believer, never respond to the preaching of God's Word by saying, oh yeah, I've heard that 1,000 times before. The question is, are we doing what we know? And so if you're not yet taking that step of personal devotions, I just want to take a moment at the start of this message to encourage you again to take that step. Do what you know God wants you to do from His Word. But now, while personal devotions is an important step of discipleship, there is another important step of discipleship beyond that that also has to do with how we respond to and how we interact with the Word of God that every single believer needs to be taking as well, and that is the step of individual Bible study. And that's what I want to speak to you about this morning. Yes, we should be reading and applying God's Word every single day in our personal devotions, but we also need to be taking time on a regular basis to spend quality time digging even deeper into the pages of the Scripture. And that is important to make sure that we are really comprehending the truths of God's Word. And also so that we can thoroughly master the teachings and the truths of the Scripture, not just the easy ones, but the harder ones as well. Folks, God wants us not just to partake of the milk of the Word, but also to eat and to chew on and to digest the meat of the Word as we grow in Christ. It is also very important for us to be impressing God's words very deeply into our minds so that we can recall them at a moment's notice. And it is very important as well that we are hiding God's words deeply in our hearts so that we will live out of that truth and we will walk in the light that God has given to us. And so for the next 2 Sundays, I want to speak to you about how to study the Bible. And I'll be preaching 2 messages. And in these 2 messages, I'm going to be presenting 2 balancing truths. All right, so to understand and internalize the truth of the Bible, first of all, we must have the help of the Holy Spirit. And then secondly, the second balancing truth is that we must work hard in study. And this morning I'm going to speak about that first side of the coin, all right, that we must have the help of the Holy Spirit. We need to understand, folks, that while Bible study is hard work, studying your Bible is not just an intellectual exercise. It's not just an academic exercise. It is first and foremost a spiritual exercise that requires God's help. But the good news is that God has given us a helper to enable us to understand the Bible. His name is the Holy Spirit. And so this morning I want to share with you two truths about the Holy Spirit and Bible study. First of all, let's make sure we understand the Holy Spirit's role in Bible study. I have 4 points for you under this main point, all right? 4 things we need to understand about the Holy Spirit's role in Bible study. Number one, we need to know that He is the Spirit of truth. That is one of His names, as a matter of fact. And what that means is the Holy Spirit knows the truth, that He is the source of all truth, and that He speaks only the truth. He is the Spirit of truth. But even better, the second thing we need to know is that He lives within every believer. In the book of John, chapter number 14, verses 16 and 17, the Lord Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter," that is talking about the Holy Spirit, "that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth." That's one of His names. His name is the Comforter. His name is the Spirit of truth, "whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." The Lord Jesus said, very soon the Holy Spirit will be living inside you, speaking there to His disciples. And that promise was fulfilled, of course, on the day of Pentecost. And so today, if you are saved, then you have a resident teacher who is living within you. The wisdom of God Himself is at your disposal. I mean, just think about that for a moment, okay? The wisdom that created this universe and everything that it contains, that wisdom resides personally within you. And therefore, you can learn from Him at any time. You know what, believer? You don't have to enroll in some special class or some special college. You don't have to pay tuition to be taught by the Holy Spirit. You don't have to show up just at certain times when He has office hours or He is lecturing. No, class is always in session because He lives inside you. And that brings me to the third truth that we need to understand about His role in Bible study. He lives within every believer, and He guides believers to a correct understanding of God's Word. He guides believers to a correct understanding of God's Word. John 16, 13, the Lord Jesus went on to say about the Holy Spirit, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." All right, so one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit to the believer is to guide us into all truth. And that guiding ministry has two parts. First of all, there was an initial guiding when the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God through His apostles and His prophets. But then also, there is a continuing guiding as well when the Holy Spirit illuminates the Word of God to the understanding of the believer. Folks, every word in the Bible was written by the Holy Spirit, who breathed it out through holy men who were writing at His guidance and direction. And because the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible, He knows what the Bible means, and He will teach us what it means as well if we want Him to do that. And that brings me to the fourth point into our passage, our main text this morning. We really need to get a hold of about His role in Bible study. We must have His help to rightly understand the Scriptures. It's not optional. It's not a recommendation. We must have the help of the Holy Spirit to rightly understand the Scriptures. That brings me now to our text here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. We're going to be focusing mainly on verses 14 through 16, but we want to get the context by starting to read at verse 9. We're going to read from verses 9 to 11, first of all. Look at verse 9. The Apostle Paul says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." Now, folks, those three verses are a description of divine revelation. That's what Paul is talking about in those three verses. Divine revelation is God revealing truth to people like you and me that we would not know otherwise. And what these verses tell us is that divine revelation comes from the Holy Spirit. On our own, we cannot hope to understand God, because he is way far above us. As the scripture says, his thoughts are not our thoughts, his ways are not our ways. But because the Holy Spirit is God, he understands God, he knows exactly what God is thinking, he understands God's wisdom, and he reveals the things of God to his people. So when it says there in verse 9, it talks about the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. A lot of times we apply that verse to the glories of heaven, but it's not talking about heaven primarily in this context. Now, it is true that heaven is going to be far beyond what we can imagine, and we'll just have to wait to see it with our own eyes. But in the context, the things that God has prepared for those that love him, it's talking about the mysteries of Jesus Christ and of salvation and of the completed revelation of the New Testament. Folks, without the Holy Spirit's help, we would never understand these glorious mysteries. But he has revealed them to believers through a series of three actions. And so let's go on in the passage, because this divine revelation incorporates three actions, three activities of the Holy Spirit. First of all, in order for divine revelation to benefit us, we must have divine indwelling. Would you look at verse number 12? Paul says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." All right, so Paul says there that before you can understand and receive the truth of God, you have to personally receive the Spirit of God. All right, he has to be living within you. But the good news is that God has given his Spirit to believers so that we can understand all the things that God wants us to know. As I read to you a moment ago from the book of John, we have received the Spirit of truth who guides us into all truth. But that is the first thing that we have to have in order to comprehend God's revelation. We must have the divine indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we need divine inspiration. Look at verse number 13. He says, "Which things," that is the things that God has given us, "which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." So after indwelling believers, the next thing the Holy Spirit did is he inspired certain men like the Apostle Paul to record the truths of God at his direction. And they did this not as robots, but they did this as they were borne along or carried along by the leading of the Holy Spirit. All right, so when Paul talks about a we here, he's talking about himself and the other apostles and prophets who are the recipients of the revelation of the Spirit. He said that we speak not in words which we have made up. We speak the words that we have been taught by God. And so what that tells us is that the very words of the Bible were from the Holy Spirit. The apostles and the prophets, they got their teachings from him. And the result is that this finished Bible that we have today is, in fact, the very Word of God. So we need that if we're going to understand the mysteries and the revelation of God. We have to have divine inspiration, but then there's one more thing we need as well, and that is divine illumination. And that's in verses 14 through 16. So let's read these three verses now. But, he says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now the key action word in that part of the passage is in verse number 14, and it is the word receive. Okay, you see that word there? That means to take something in, and in this context that includes both comprehending and applying the truths of God's word. We see the comprehension part in the word know there in verse number 14. All right, so we need to know the truth. That is comprehension of God's mysteries. But then also the application is in the words to judge and to discern. Those are the, by the way, translations of the same word in the Greek. That means to apply the word of God. And so in his illuminating ministry, the Holy Spirit helps us, first of all, to know the word, okay, to understand what it means. But then secondly, he also helps us to use the word to make specific judgments and determinations about what is right and wrong, what is true and not true, what we should do, what we shouldn't do, and so on. But folks, without the help of the Holy Spirit, we would not have a clue as to what the Bible means or how it should be applied. So we must have the help of the Holy Spirit to understand the Word of God. That is His role. But now, secondly, let's go on and let's talk about how to receive His help. Now that we understand we need it, let's talk about how to receive it. I have four more points under this point for you as well. So four things about how to receive the help of the Holy Spirit in Bible study. The first way we receive His help is by being saved. By being saved. Because if you look back into this passage, verse 14 says, the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. All right, there is a problem, even though the Holy Spirit has made truth available in His inspired word, yet there are some people who cannot comprehend it. And those people are described as the natural man. The natural man is talking about an unsaved person. Now, the spiritual man in this passage is talking about, first of all, a spirit indwelt, or in other words, a saved person. So what verse 14 says is that an unsaved person cannot understand God's wisdom because he or she is not on God's wavelength at all. All right, so we have to have the mind of Christ that is given to us by the Spirit of Christ, so that we can understand the Word of Christ. I'm saying, my friend, that the Holy Spirit must indwell you before He will illuminate the Word to your understanding. So if you're not saved, you will never understand the Bible. And I meet lots of people that are in that situation. Okay, people that know a lot of Bible. I mean, they can quote verses. They've read the Bible. They know things about the Bible, but they do not understand it. They're all messed up and they're confused. And the reason is because they don't know the God of the Bible. They don't know Him personally, you see. My friend, the more you try to understand the Bible on your own without God's help, the more confused and the more deceived you will become. And so the question I need to ask you here in this point is very simply, are you saved? Okay? Because that's where understanding the Bible really begins. You need to be born again. So I'm asking you, have you ever really understood the primary message of the Bible, which is called the gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ? Have you ever understood that message, not just with your head, but with your heart? Because that's the only part of the Scripture that the Holy Spirit will illuminate to the understanding of an unsaved person. Now, we find a beautiful and short statement of the gospel in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. The Apostle Paul said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. All right, so the gospel, the good news, is that Christ Jesus came into this world. Who is that? Christ Jesus. Christ means he is the Messiah, the one sent by God in fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. He is God's Son, become a man. His name is Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. Christ Jesus came into this world. But why did he come? He came on a mission of mercy. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save sinners like you and me. See, because of our sins, we have disqualified ourselves from eternal salvation in heaven, and we have earned God's just condemnation and wrath upon our sins in eternal hell. My friend, the wages of sin is death. If you understand today that you have indeed sinned in your life, you need to also comprehend that sin has a paycheck, that God is not going to sweep sin under the rug, and that all sin will be judged. And the Bible talks about the fact that there is a judgment coming, a day when people are standing before the great white throne of His judgment, and those whose names are not found written in the book of life will be cast into a lake of fire. That is the second death. That is the ultimate paycheck of sin. And that is not good news. But the good news is that Christ Jesus came to save sinners that were headed for an eternal hell. Because He loves us, He allowed Himself to die upon an old rugged cross. He made the ultimate sacrifice, laying down His life not for His friends, but for people that were enemies of Him. We were none of us the friends of God when Jesus died for us, but He reached out to us in love. And He gave Himself. And when He died, His death was the substitute for yours and for mine. That blood that He shed upon the cross was the full payment for the sin of the world. And so now those that will receive the gift of eternal life through the work of Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection, God will forgive their sins and He will give them everlasting life, not because we deserve anything from God, but because God gives eternal life as a free gift to those who will receive the work that His Son has performed on their behalf upon the cross. And so, my friend, the good news of the gospel is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But notice what Paul said at the end of that verse. He said, of whom I am chief. You see, understanding the gospel goes beyond just understanding that, oh, sure, Jesus died on the cross. No, it goes to the personal understanding that I am the guilty sinner that Jesus came and died to save. That I am the chief of sinners. I am the one who is in great need of saving. And my friend, if you will approach the gospel with that kind of a heart attitude and you will humbly receive what Jesus Christ did for you upon the cross, then God will wash away your sins and He will give you eternal salvation and everlasting life as a free gift of His grace. You need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ personally by receiving what He did for you upon the cross. And when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, then you'll receive His Spirit, who will then teach you all the things that God wants you to know. Look at this passage here in the book of 1 John, chapter number 2. John here is talking to born-again believers in Jesus Christ. He says to them, but ye have an unction or anointing from the Holy One, and ye know all things. That anointing that he's talking about there is the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit. He has been poured out upon us as believers in Jesus Christ. He now lives within us. Verse 27, he says, but the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. The Spirit is living in you, he says, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even it, as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. And so if you are saved, the Holy Spirit, your teacher, is living within you. He's abiding there forever, and you are abiding in Jesus Christ. You are one with Him, and you are ready to receive the truths of God. So that's the first thing. If we want the help of the Holy Spirit to understand the Bible, we receive it, first of all, by being saved. Secondly, by being right with God. By being right with God. Look back at verse number 16. He says in the end of the verse, but we have the mind of Christ. What is that talking about? That's talking about not just that you are a spirit indwelt person, but even it goes beyond that, that you are a spirit controlled person, okay? That you are a spiritual person who is living in obedience to the mind of Christ, the will of Christ, and it is as it is found in His Word. And so very simply, believer, if you want to work in partnership with the Holy Spirit in Bible study or in any other area of your life for that matter, you have to be rightly related to Him because you cannot do anything without His help. Do you believe that, Christian? Do you believe, as the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 15, without me, ye can do nothing, and therefore you need to abide in me? You see, believer, the truth of the matter is you cannot serve God without the help of the Holy Spirit. And if you try to do that, you're just going to be serving in the strength of your flesh. You can't exercise your spiritual gifts without the help of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to edify anybody that way because your spiritual gifts are the Spirit working through you to edify others. You can't win souls without the help of the Holy Spirit because He is the soul winner who lives within us. We have to have Him salt our speech and teach us words of wisdom so that we can give a powerful witness for Jesus Christ in that moment of testimony. Believer, you can't live in victory without the help of the Holy Spirit. That's why Romans 6 says we're supposed to present our members to Him on a moment-by-moment basis. Yield them to His control. And just as you can't do any of those other spiritual activities without the help of the Holy Spirit, so you cannot understand the Bible without the help of the Holy Spirit. Let me just say that no matter what you are doing in life, Christian, if you're walking out onto that court to play a basketball game or a volleyball game, if you're stepping out onto a soccer field, if you're walking into the job in your secular workplace, if you're getting ready to take a test, no matter what you are doing, no matter what endeavor of life you are pursuing, you should always seek to do it in partnership with the Holy Spirit. There should be a moment by moment yielding to His control, depending upon His strength, asking for His help in order to be able to do things in the strength, not of our flesh, but in the strength that He gives us. Folks, the truth of the matter is that all of the Christian life is a partnership with the Holy Spirit. Let me also say this, that if you are actively resisting the Holy Spirit, then you're in no position or condition to understand His Word. Because if you're fighting a battle of the wills with God, then you are not going to be able to comprehend God's will until you are willing to do His will. He is not going to show you the glorious will that He has in store for you while you're fighting a battle of wills with Him. No, but when you say to the Lord, have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. When you will say like the songwriter, I surrender all, then you are in a position to really begin to receive the things of God that He has for you and the specific guidance that He has for your life, and He will begin to direct your steps in the light of His Word. But if you're resisting the Holy Spirit of God, you're not in a position to really understand His Word and how to apply it to your life. So if you want the help of the Holy Spirit to understand the Bible, then you better make sure that you're listening to His voice in other areas first. Believer, you cannot grieve the Spirit of God by living in impurity or indulging the sin of anger or speaking harshly to those people around you or telling dirty jokes or whatever it may be. You cannot grieve the Spirit of God throughout your day and then expect to sit down and to be taught by Him in the Word. It doesn't work that way unless it is to hear His voice of conviction. But you cannot say, you know what, Holy Spirit, I've ignored You all day long. I've been suppressing Your still small voice all day long. I've been walking in the flesh, doing what I want to do, and now I'm ready to hear Your voice in the Word. No. We have to turn from sin before God will teach us His truth. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 1. God says to us, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at My reproof. Behold, I will pour out My Spirit unto you. I will make known My words unto you." And so if you want to live in the last part of verse number 23 there, if you want the Spirit being poured out and His words being revealed to your understanding, if you want all that, it starts with turning at His reproof. So that's talking about repenting of known sin and being right with God. And you know what? This is one reason why perhaps some believers in this room really haven't been getting much out of the Bible lately, because you're not right with God. You're not walking with the Spirit, in the Spirit. You're not walking in fellowship with Him. You're not really in a position to be receiving the truths of His Word because you're not right with the Lord. So I want to encourage you, the application here is simply make sure you're right with God. Okay, the first way we receive the help of the Spirit in Bible studies, by being saved. Secondly, by being right with God. And then number 3, by getting God's words into our minds and hearts by every possible means. Getting His Word into our minds and hearts by every possible means. Take a look at verse number 14 again. Talks about receiving the things of the Spirit of God. That's talking about taking in God's Word, which includes comprehending it and believing it and making it yours. Okay, so the goal is internalization, but internalization begins with intake. So you got to be taking it in. If we want to have the Holy Spirit's help to receive His Word, as it is described there in verse number 14, then we have to start by getting the Word of God into our minds and into our hearts by any and every possible means. Yes, we should be reading it on a daily basis. But beyond that, we should be meditating on God's Word as well. We should be memorizing the Word of God. We should be studying the Bible with other people, perhaps at church, perhaps in family devotions, all of the above. And then in addition to those things, we should also be getting God's Word into our minds and into our hearts by digging deeply into it in our own personal study. And you know what? The more we take in God's Word, the more we'll understand it. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." All right, so if you do not understand something in the Bible, you know what you should do? You should take in more of the Bible. Make the personal and painstaking pursuit of biblical perception your passionate priority. As a matter of fact, let's just consider for a moment some of the words that the Bible uses to describe how we should be studying His Word. Okay, these are some Bible words that talk about how we should be diligently digging for truths in the Scripture. The Bible says we should be seeking and we should be searching. We should be watching and waiting. We talked about those words last week. We should be desiring the Word of God more than anything else. We should be meditating upon it day and night. We should be hiding it in our hearts. We should be renewing our minds in the Word. We should be taking it, grasping it, holding on tightly to it, and we should be engrafting it in our hearts. Safe to say, folks, those words are describing more than just reading the Bible for 5 minutes every day and then immediately forgetting what we read. They describe receiving the Word of God. And the more we take it in, the more the Holy Spirit will help us to understand what it means. So we need to be getting it into our minds and hearts by any and every available means. And then number 4, if you want the Holy Spirit's help to understand the Bible, in Bible study, then you need to be asking for His help. We receive His help by asking for His help. That's very simple, isn't it? I spent several years as a classroom teacher, so I can tell you that in the classroom, when a student does not understand the work or the assignment or the test question, you know what that student is going to do? They're going to raise his or her hand and say, "Teacher, I've got a question. I need some help over here." Some students like to do that quite a bit. And so it only makes sense in the same way that if the Holy Spirit is your teacher given to you by God to help you understand God's Word, then you would ask Him to help you understand what you're reading in the Bible, what you're studying in the Bible. So are you asking Him for help? Do you have a regular practice of asking the Holy Spirit to teach you from His Word before you sit down to read or to study it, or maybe even while you are studying? Personally, I can tell you, I've been learning that if I will take the time to pray before reading God's Word, before sitting down to study the Bible or to prepare a message, that God will help me to understand His Word and to make efficient use of my time in preparing messages. So I ask the Lord to help me to rightly divide His Word, to understand the right interpretation of a passage. Or I will ask Him to help me to come up with applications of that interpretation. I'll ask Him to help me with the illustrations. I'll ask Him to help me with the introduction, any and whatever parts of the message that I need help with. I want to ask Him for His help. And you know, sometimes I just have to take a break from my study to pray some more. And I find if I'll take a break and I'll go over and I'll spend some time in prayer, as I'm praying, the Lord begins to bring new thoughts to my mind. And he refines the burden that's on my heart for that particular message or that particular passage of Scripture that I'm studying. And He helps me in my study and He helps me to make that message better. And sometimes I get stuck in my studies and I don't understand and I have to keep on asking and praying. I have to keep on coming to the Lord, ask Him to help me to understand His Word so I can rightly divide the Word, so I can feed the sheep. It's important. And God is always faithful to help. So, believer, if you teach a class, if you have a Sunday school class, if you have a responsibility or a ministry to share God's Word with others, do you pray over your lesson faithfully and fervently? Or is your study time and your teaching time more an exercise in self-dependence and the strength of your flesh? You know, I have observed that sometimes people don't make the effort to study the Bible because study in general does not come easy for them. Perhaps they're not good readers. They struggle to read. Maybe studying just in general is difficult. Maybe they find certain things in the Bible hard to understand. But I want you to get something very important. What you really need to grab hold of is that the Bible is not like any other book in the world. Because if you are saved and you are right with God and you really want to understand the Bible and you are willing to work hard to understand it and you'll make that effort, then God will help you. But you will have to ask for help. So I'm wondering, how long has it been since you were so desperate to understand something from the Bible that you cried out to God in prayer, asking Him to help you with that? Look at Proverbs chapter number 2, what it says to us about acquiring the wisdom of God's words. It says in verse 3, "Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." And where do we find those words that have come out of God's mouth of knowledge and understanding? We find them right here in the pages of His Word. And so what that passage says is that if we want to understand the words of God and the knowledge and the wisdom of God that He has given to us in His precious Word, the Scripture, then we must faithfully seek and search, as that passage says. We've got to dig. We've got to work hard. But also it says that we must fervently cry out to God, and we must lift up our voice in prayer to Him for His help. Because successful Bible study is a partnership with the Holy Spirit. So we should study like it all depends on us. And I'll say more about that next week. But then we should also depend upon the Spirit's help like it all depends on Him. Because guess what? It does. And so here's a good prayer to pray. Psalm 119, verses 18 and 19. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. You know what, folks? We are strangers on the earth. That is a good description of our condition. But we are not alone, because we have a helper, a teacher, a guide, a comforter, a friend. His name is the Holy Spirit, and He will not hide God's word from our understanding. Because one of the reasons that He came and that He lives within us was to help us understand. And so I want to encourage you this morning. Ask Him. Let's ask Him to open up our eyes to behold the glorious truths of His Word. If you want to study the Bible, start out by depending on the help of the Holy Spirit. Let's bow our heads, please.